Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey. Well, good evening and welcome to Sunday Night Live. I'm Harold Herring and my fine wife, Bev, is overcoming. Hallelujah. And she's just about there, but we decided she's going to watch from home and do some ministry work. So that's a good thing. Well, Super Bowl Sunday. Let me just start out and tell you right now, I can tell you who's going to win the ball game. Don't bet on it, but I can tell you who's going to win. The team that scores the most points, they'll win the game. They will. But you know, hundreds of millions of people will be watching the Super Bowl tonight. So I think it's fitting that we focus on the game of life, the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl of life. And so that you can be the champion that God destined you to be. But first, to those who only occasionally watch football, I've come across some definitions that will help you with football speak. In fact, football speak theology. I believe these definitions sort of set the atmosphere for the Super Bowl Sunday night teaching. These definitions were stirred in me in a sermon written by a pastor named Dallas Henry Fermain some years ago. Now, some of the definitions I'm going to share are his, some of them are mine, but Google gets some credit, but God gets all the glory for this. Backfield in motion. Now, if you could care less about football, just don't like backfield in motion. Don't focus on that. Focus what you shouldn't be doing. Walking out of the sanctuary during the sermon to visit the restroom or water fountain. Bench warmer. Those who do not sing, pray, work, or apparently do anything in church but sit. Blitz. The rush for the restaurants following the closing prayer of morning worship. Blocking. Standing inside the church door complaining to the pastor about the sermon, or telling him things he should have included in the sermon. In run, getting out of church quickly without speaking to any guest or fellow member. Extra point, when you tell the preacher the sermon was too short. You'll get extra points for that. Flex defense, the ability to allow absolutely nothing said during the sermon to affect your life. Fumble allows his sermon, or to be politically correct, maybe I should say it was a sermon for which the pastor was improperly prepared. Halfback option, the decision of 50% of the congregation not to return for the evening service. Halftime, period between Sunday school and worship when many choose to leave. Illegal motion, leaving before the altar call or final prayer. Instant replay, the preacher loses his note and falls back on last week's illustrations. I've been in services like that, to be honest with you. Interference, clipping your fingernails during the sermon. Now let me just tell you, growing up, church I grew up in, one of the deacons sat behind us every Sunday, and he clipped his fingernails during the whole sermon. He did. I wanted to ask him one time. I said, Daddy, can I ask him if he picks up those nail clippings? Daddy said, no, son, don't do that. I wanted to, but I didn't. Personal foul. The only time you opened your mouth during praise and worship is to make snide jokes about the singing abilities of certain members of the praise team. Quarterback sneak. Sunday school teachers entering the church building 5 minutes after Sunday school begins. Sacked. When you think the pastor's message applies to everybody in church but you. I love these. Staying in the pocket. Now see, if you don't follow football, you won't know a lot of these names. But the point of what we're seeing here is something that you should adhere to, heed, and practice. Staying in the pocket. What happens to a lot of money that should be given to the Lord's work? Sudden death. What happens to the attention span of the congregation if the preacher goes into overtime? Trap. You're caught on the prey and you're asleep. Or you have to turn to your spouse and go, what did he say? Did he call my name? Yeah. 2-minute warning. The point at which you realize the sermon is almost over and you begin to gather up your belongings so you can be the first one in children's church to get your kids. 99.99% of people will never know what it's like to actually play in a Super Bowl. The Apostle Paul knew that well. The Apostle Paul, he said, even though they didn't have a fullback then, he knew. And Paul wanted to win the game. He wasn't interested in sitting on the sidelines. Philippians 3:13 and 14. King James. Paul is pressing toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:12-14, this time in the Message Bible. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I'm well on my way, reaching out for Christ who has wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I got my eye on the goal. I got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us homeward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. It's not a football game. You see that in the game. They're headed toward the goal. You know, they're not turning back. They're running. But also, excuse me, applies to believers as well. And we need to think about that. Paul was looking at the goal line and giving it everything he had. Sadly, most Christians are not like the Apostle Paul, with a single-minded devotion to finishing the race, you know, to achieving the goal. For various reasons, some believers get off course, and our life is not about giving our all to the Lord. By the way, if you want to read a good book, Pastor Mark Batterson wrote a book called All In. It's a great book, All In. And if you go to a bookstore, go online to ChristianSoldierBookstore.com. If you get a copy of the book and read the first page and a half, you'll buy the book. In fact, you'll probably buy it for everybody in your family. But see, too often believers get busy living life and making a living. Now, it's not that these are bad things. It's just that's not where our ultimate priorities need to be. We're concerned only with what's best for us and our immediate family. And as such, sometimes the priorities of God get buried, ignored, or not paid attention to. Hebrews 12:1-3. Hebrews 12:1-3. King James Bible. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand on the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against him, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Following up, I'll give you a story that I always like. Following a rags-to-riches season, Northwestern University Wildcats met with Coach Gary Barnett at the opening of spring training, and they'd won the Rose Bowl that year. As the players found their seat, Barnett announced that he was going to hand out awards for the Wildcats for their performance in 1995. Some players exchanged glances, because Coach Barnett doesn't normally dwell on the past, but he was about to hand out awards for the past. But he continued to call players forward and handed them placards proclaiming their achievements, and they were cheered on by their teammates. One of the other coaches gave Barnett a placard representing his 17 National Coach of the Year awards. Then as the applause subsided, Coach Barnett walked to the trash can that was marked 1995. He took an admiring glance at his placard and dropped it in the trash can. In the silence that followed, the players one by one walked over and dropped their placards in the trash can. Barnett created a message without saying a word, because he basically told them what you did in 1995 was terrific. But the calendar says it's 1996. See, we can't live in the past. We got to live now. And if you ever ask somebody about their testimony, they say, well, I was saved at 10 years old, but they're 50. Didn't God do anything more recent in their life than when they got saved? And then there's some who go in and just tell you all the dark side of what happened to them and trying to create a pity party without telling you how God delivered them, brought them out, set them free. So that's something to think about. Here's what you need to know. Every day in your life is a Super Bowl. Every day is a Super Bowl because you're in the game of life. It's important how you handle that game. Here's a comparison between the game of life and football. Number one, in the game of football, the people are called players. They're the ones who make the game possible. There are two teams made up of the same number of players. Each player has an assignment, a goal, a role to play. In the game of life, believers, you're the players. Maybe on different teams, but you have a specific role to play and a goal to reach. Number two, there are rules in the game of football for players to observe. Rules to ensure that every player has a fair and equal opportunity. The rules protect the players. In life, we call the rules laws. Now, there are three kinds of laws that exist. There's God's law, natural law, and man's law. In life, we have laws to protect us and give us a strong foundation in fulfilling our divine destiny and the thing that God has called us to do. Number three, football has an objective to play the game at the highest level of performance and score the most points. So it is with our lives. Not to stay in a comfort zone, but to move out. Because God's not through with you yet. If you woke up this morning, or any morning, you got to know God's not through with you. Because if he was, he'd take you home. But there's something for you to do. We should have an objective. We should want to live life to the fullest, experience the most in each area, and score a beautiful lifetime that's rewarding and fulfilling. In both cases, the objective, football and life, is to reach the goal. But you got to know clearly what your goals are, where you're at, and what you want to accomplish. Because if you don't know where, if you don't have goals, I don't know if you ever saw the movie Forrest Gump, but when he scored his first touchdown at Alabama, he kept right on running. See, if you don't have goalposts, you don't know when to stop running, and you keep on going. You got goalposts in football, and you got goals in life. Hallelujah. Number four, I love this one. The obstacles in football are called blocking, tackling, and sacking. You block, you tackle, and you sack the quarterback or someone else. We call the obstacles in life worry, financial problems, sickness, and other self-defeating actions. As players, all of us in life have been blocked, tackled, and sacked at one point or another. But they should only slow us down, not keep us down. There's nothing wrong. A friend of mine, Bob Harrington, who's the chaplain of Bourbon Street, said one time, he said, there's nothing wrong with being down and out and wrong, as long as you don't want to stay that way, as long as you want to get up, right, and in. That's the truth. Excuse me. I knew it was coming. Anybody want to say there's going to be one more? No. Okay. I don't believe so. All right. Number five, football game is played by individuals. Football game is played by individuals who make up a team. Each player has specific assignments, but when the assignments are combined, the team benefits in life. Wow. Now I'm going to do this. In life, all of us are individuals, but we make up different teams. Family teams, business team, military team, different teams. Team of friends. And we're not islands. The English poet John Donne once said, "No man is an island. We all need each other to reach our ultimate goals, a better quality of life for us and those that we love." Hallelujah. I can tell you the enemy doesn't like this. That's why this is happening. The penalties in a football game serve to remind players that infringement of the rules are not allowed. The player is penalized. Play is forfeited. The reaching of the goal is delayed. The players learn to abide by the rules for the maximum level of efficiency, or the team suffers the consequences. When, as players in the game of life, we infringe upon laws, even not just natural laws, spiritual laws, we're penalized, and often, from reaching our goal. Number seven, the extra point, a two-point conversion in a football game, gives the scoring team an opportunity to capitalize on future success. After that touchdown has been accomplished, there's another way of gaining more points. With the right play, the right player, a definite target and strategy, an extra point of points can be earned. So it is with players in life. Once we've reached our initial goal, we then have the opportunity to capitalize further on our momentum. With specific purpose, definite strategy, we're all able to experience what they call having your cake and your ice cream too. Some people say candy, but I like cake and ice cream. I prefer that. Number eight, one key ingredient to both these games, football and life, is extra effort. To get the goal, to overcome the obstacles, to seize the extra success available, we must put forth every ounce of extra effort. When it seems too tough, when you get hurt, when you get penalized, when you want to quit, you must incite within you the extra effort to reach the desirable end. And how do you do that? You don't do it in your own mind. You do it through the Word of God, because the Word will encourage you and help you get through every adversity that you face. And that's exactly what it'll do. Number nine, football and life are games of winning and losing. They're made up of winners and losers. The game teaches us how to be good winners, good losers, and how to play the game to the best of our ability. It's been said that it doesn't matter where you win or lose, but how you play the game. Frankly, I don't agree with that, because I was created to win. I'm going to play the game the right way. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to have a hissy fit if I don't win. But, you know, my goal is to win. I'm a child of the King. I'm anointed, and there are things that I can do. You know, there's something intrinsically, that statement is not whether you win or lose or how you play the game. There's something intrinsically good and bad about that statement. I'm going to go a little further on it. It's important how you play, and it's important whether you win or lose. What we want to learn is to play the game to our fullest, the fullest of our ability, and our maximum efficiency. When we win, we celebrate. When we lose, we reevaluate. The reevaluation will help us in the next game. Number 10, last but not least, the highest honor paid in the game of football is to play in the Super Bowl. The winner of the Super Bowl game is a world champion. In life, and in the hereafter, the greatest honor that can ever be paid us is to one day hear our Lord and Savior say, "Norman, well done, my good and faithful servant. Fred, well done, my good and faithful servant." You can be a champion, a winner, the most valuable player in the Super Bowl game of life. Even if you don't like football for the sport, you can learn many things from the game itself. We should watch anything, read anything, listen to anybody that will help us build a better quality of life for us and those that we love. We need to focus on the basics of the Word and the promises to us. We're not destined to live a life of mediocrity. Let me say that again. We're not destined to live a life of mediocrity. As we continue in the game of life, God wants us to be a winner. Vince Lombardi, the former coach of the Green Bay Packers and the winning coach of Super Bowl number one, gave a speech once entitled, "What It Takes to Be Number One." And this is part of that speech. Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-the-time thing. You don't win once in a while. You don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning's a habit. Unfortunately, so is losing. Every time a football player goes to play his trade, he's got to play from the ground up, from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Every inch of him has to play. When you're doing things in life, it needs to be a total commitment. If you're working on the job, it doesn't need to be just enough to get by. I had a man tell me once to work for me. And I said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Can't you do it?" He said, "Well, if you pay me more, I'd do more." I said, "You'll never have to worry about that again." And the next day, I let him go. You give the best. Look, you may have the worst supervisor in the world. You may. But you don't work for that supervisor. You don't work for that company. If you're reading Colossians, it says, "Do everything you do as unto the Lord." So everything you do in life, from the moment you wake up in the morning to the moment you go to sleep at night, needs to be to glorify God and maximize the potential that was in you. When you do that, you'll win the game of life. You win it every day. You win the Super Bowl every day. So this Super Bowl Sunday, don't forget the basics, because God wants you to be a champion, a world champion, this day and every other day of the year. Can somebody say hallelujah? Go to HaroldHerring.com. Check out this week's two-minute video. And listen, I now send out Monday through Friday a meme with a 2 or 3 sentence rich thought. I'm getting amazing feedback on that. If you'd like to sign up, just send an email to Harold@HaroldHerring.com and we'll put you on there. It'll really motivate you. Come out most nights about 8:30. I may change the time to the morning. People got a lot going in the morning. I don't know where they can reflect. So I think I'm going to stay with 8:30 at night. But anyhow, sign up for that. If you're blessed by the teaching and the ministry, take your mouse, move it to the top where it says, "Sow a seed." Just ask God what seed it have you sow. As my fine wife Bev says, a seed left in the barn will never bring a harvest in the field. And that's a fact. Hallelujah. Happy February 2nd. I'm excited about this month. Leap year. You only get one February 29th every 4 years. Plan ahead. Know what you're going to do. Gives you an extra day to maximize your potential. Take advantage of it. Hallelujah. Listen, dial in tomorrow morning. You're going to love the teaching. 8:30 Eastern, Rich Sells for breakfast. And until next time, God bless you, happy trails, and keep thinking. Rich Salts.